You are listening to the Drew and Jay podcast, brought to you by 21 Media Productions. He is Drew Lasker. I am Jay Marriott. This is episode 22. And frankly, I don't have a clue who we have on today, as the deviant Drew Lasker has something up his sleeve. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I just want to throw a little curveball at you. You know, we've been throwing you fastballs right down the middle all season long, but
don't like that look on your face, mate.
Yeah, we just want to juice it up a little bit. You know, I didn't get you a Christmas gift, so I thought, you know, it's March, spring is coming. Why not give you something to celebrate with?
Yeah, I'm not seeing this as a present, mate. I think this is a cream pie. This is, you know, this reeks of your humor. But have you had a good week, mate? How's the how the game's been?
Yeah, all good, man. Time is just flying by now. I'm just looking forward to that daylight. If you can send some sun up here to the Northeast, that would be much appreciated because it's still rainy. But, you know, it's that time of year where you start visualizing yourself on a beach with a pina colada with the sunglasses on. Because, I mean, you can't see me right now, but I got the covers on me and a hot water bottle, mate. It's ridiculous.
So basically what you're saying is you're like every Patriots and Giants player right now. They're already on the beach. Is that what you're saying?
Ooh, yeah. Already on that plane, got the tickets punched, ready to get home. But we will cover that a little bit later. But before we do, what's been up with you, man? How's your week been?
Yeah, good week. Mate, we just finished our NBL season this weekend as well. So that's been good. Under 18s academy stuff wraps up next week. So pretty much we're in next season mode already, planning for our big charity event that we run in April, May. Planning a little trip, USA Select. Give me the big call up again out in Florida. So nice. We need to chat about that, Mr. Lasker. We might have a few things up our sleeve for that one, but that's always a fun trip. So a little bit like you, man. I need some sun. I need to get away. You know, it's going to be doing basketball, so it's going to be, you know, that's not going anywhere soon. But at least I'll be doing it in warmer climates.
It's nothing like that. But let's warm up this pod. Let's get you a little. Let's bring a little sunshine to the podcast and get our guest in the room. A special guest. Here we go. And yes, we got our special guest in the room, Saquon Jameson. Jay, you look like you got fear in your eyes. You've been talking that shit online, and now I have to bring him. I have to bring him in the room, man. How you feeling?
Drew Lasker, you are a sneaky little. I'm not gonna finish that, but welcome, Saquon. I love this. I love these kind of these conversations. Even if Drew tries to surprise me, we are gonna have some fun regardless.
I appreciate you guys for having me, man. It's cool.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, let's start here, Saquon. I want to start with where this all began, because we were talking about, we've been debating about your team for the last couple of weeks. And your fans, man, you shout out to the Surrey fans. They are passionate, man. Those guys, they got your back. What we were doing here specifically, Jay, is just holding you guys accountable just because you guys have so much talent. But your tweet at Jay at the podcast was just keep the same energy. Yeah, we have more work to do, but give credit where it's due. We've been shorthanded up and down all year as well. Nobody trying to hear none of that, but how the awful opponents may have been. We all are professional clubs and got to go out and hoop regardless. Elaborate, sir. This is your form to elaborate on that tweet.
I meant everything about that though, because like at the end of the day, as a team, everybody know that even last year, my first year here, we never had no luck when it came to injuries. And we were losing guys. Literally my first year, we never had the same starting five, no game, like at all.
I remember that.
So it's just like, when it comes to injuries, it's no luck here. And I'm not saying that like, it's just a thing. And at the end of the day, like the guys that we in training with that are fit to play, like we still have to go out there and play basketball at the end of the day. So like everybody just has to come out there and do their jobs, but it's no excuse for like say, okay, a team has injuries but at the end of the day, the guys that are healthy, they still have to go out there and perform, right? They're getting paid to perform. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's no excuse for saying, okay, yeah, we beat them, but they were, I mean, just because they had like injuries or whatever going on, yeah, they weren't playing their best basketball, but we also have our own situations going on as well. So it's like we still have to sacrifice and do things to get the win. Like we don't like Siri's not known for winning games, and you know that. Everybody in the league know that. So like it's still taking a lot of effort from us to get those wins. So like I don't like when it comes to like making an excuse or saying like, oh, they're not their best. They have injuries going on. No, I'm not trying to hear that personally, because at the end of the day, I'm going to go out there. I don't care if I'm hurting. I'm still going to go out there and give 110% of my energy. And that's what I do every night.
Love it. Well, I love the fact that you came to your defense of your team. I will question the timing, because we both said, both me and Drew said, go get that Caledonia team. You know, and that's I still think you've got to go and get a quality win to try and move up that playoff board.
No, for sure.
Well, I'm just saying, for clarity, and I've had some really good conversations. I've had some, you know, great DMs. I've had some good messages about this conversation. For clarity, I was asked at that position at that time if I believed in you guys, which we were talking specifically about the playoffs and a playoff run. You know, so it's not me necessarily talking about the team as a whole and what I think you can do. Let's ask you this question. As you sit here today, so eighth place, we kind of talked about this.
We're in seventh.
We'll talk about this later. Well, joint seventh, if you want to get technical with it. Yeah, okay. You can be seventh if that's what you need. But you're touching distance with all the way up to fourth. What's the ambition? Because my feeling that I get out was that the defensiveness was about the fact that, you know, we've got better than the formative years. And I want to talk about that later, because I know you were there 2 years ago. You've got better than that. So absolutely, that's amazing. But then my challenge, my gauntlet was like, okay, well, you know, you're getting better and every day. Like, where can this go? Where can you be in the playoffs to actually make some noise? You know, what do you think you guys can do? Are you as keenly looking at the standings as we are?
I mean, every game, Lloyd kind of preaches to us that, like, obviously we're in a battle with those last couple spots in the playoffs, but we know that we can beat those guys that we're hanging around with. So, like, he's been telling us to preach to us to, obviously, we want to look up the standings, like, the closer guys that are, like, what's the Leicesters, Newcastles, those guys that are above us. Obviously, he's saying, like, we want to start looking up, like, rather than just trying to maintain and stay within that playoff spot. But, like, I've never been content with just making the playoffs. Like, obviously I want to make the playoffs and be able to, like I said, look up the board, try to get those guys that we've lost. Cause like we lost to Leicester, what, three times, Cheshire three times. So like, it's just like those guys that, like you said, we got to get meaningful wins but I just don't like that the wins that we got were being undermined just because the team was basically like not at their best at the time. Like that's cool. Like, yeah, the teams weren't at their best at that moment, but like, a win is a win at the end of the day. Like that's what counts, and that's what's keeping us at the standings right now in the playoffs. One, like I said, we want to look up to those teams that are above us, and those are the guys that we will have to beat to.
If you look below you in the standings, all you're going to see is a beach. We're going to talk about that later on. All you're going to see is a beach. There's two teams now that they're not in the running anymore. It's now, for me, it's what the playoff seedings look like, right?
Yeah. Straight up from here is, like I said, like we have to play Newcastle two more times. We have to play, I think we play Leicester one more time at home. So like we got to play those guys. Like we can't just be content with being in the playoffs right now. It's just like we have to finish out the season strong. Like we have a couple, like we have like next weekend we have Newcastle and Manchester back to back. Like, so it's like those games, like we have to come ready to play and like just. We know the gap between, like you said, fourth and seventh is close. So like those games, those are the big games we have to get, and like those games that matter the most right now. I mean, every game matters, but like those games against the teams that are like we're super close against, like we have to get those rather than just keep beating the Bristols and the Plymouths and all that. I mean, I understand what you're saying about that, but I understand. That's it.
Well, let's give the fans some perspective. First of all, Saquon, that is a legitimately great point that you brought up, is that at this level, a win's a win, and how you get it done and what other team is going through at the time is none of your business. And so you can take it how you can get it. And so let's just look at Surrey team over the course of the season. at the beginning of the season, you guys came out very slow out the gates, and we're coming here on the podcast saying it's the same old Surrey. Then all of a sudden, you guys started picking up some wins and then building momentum, and we come on here saying and recognizing that. And just to give context of your schedule, you guys, to finish the season, you got London, Leicester, Eagles twice, Caledonia, Cheshire, and that one Manchester game. So I think for me, this will give us a real context of who you guys really are. But my question to you is since you guys have been on this trajectory where I'm no longer looking at you guys as the same old Surrey, I think you guys are better than that. You guys are proving that. But I feel like every time that I am ready and I come in here on the podcast and I say, if Surrey get this game, I am a huge believer. We reflect to the Caledonia game that was on TV, that you guys had a huge opportunity there. They had a couple guys missing. And then this game last week against Sheffield, who had been really struggling. What do you think the barrier is whenever it's time to really get over that hump with that signature win?
I feel like sometimes it's just been the same story to where, as though it's like we figure out how to win and then we figure out a way to lose a game as well. So it's just like it's just trying to be in that middle of trying to get over that hump of not going into a game to like we not just like putting too much into the game. Like you say, you Surrey should get this game or Surrey has to get this game. But it's just like I feel like mentally we just have to go into the games with a better mindset of just like doing what we do, what we have been doing to get the wins that we've got and just consistently doing it. But sometimes we just go away from it and it's just like Sheffield, like even the game before that, when they played Plymouth, they played pretty, like they beat them by 30. They played pretty good at home this year as a whole. We know that them on the road, they haven't been the best, but like at home, they've been a pretty solid team and they won a couple, like a lot of games at home. So it's just like, we knew that coming in there, like if we lacked energy and we let the game, so this is what my take from the game. We played the game into their hands. Like we let them control the pace of the game. Like we never took control of what we wanted to establish or like anything. So it was just like, it was their game to have from the jump, honestly.
Yeah. And I think that's what was disappointing for me is because I interviewed Lloyd before the game and I specifically asked him, I said, you guys have been on a run lately. What's been the difference? And he said exactly what you said. He said that we figured out how to win. And so I'm thinking, okay, the approach to this game is you guys are going to be the aggressors. And and it was the other way around. Sheffield was totally the aggressive team, and you guys were on the back burner trying to crawl back into the game.
Yeah, we were down, 20-9 in the first couple minutes?
Yeah.
Like I said, they weren't missing, but it's just like we weren't there when it came to like getting those stops that we needed or running our offense was pretty stagnant. Like we weren't moving the ball, like we weren't moving the ball quicker and trying to get open shots for each other. So like that was the main reason why. And like we just weren't guarding. Like they were like that's it. We weren't guarding. We weren't playing defense, and most of their shots that they hit were either wide open or just like, I mean, they were good offensive plays. Like they were confident, and that's what it was. Like we allowed the confidence in guys to literally, we wasn't getting stops, and they were confident offense. So like that's what it was going to be. Like when they hitting shots and we not hitting shots, and they were getting transition, they dictated the pace early, and that was the way of the game. We never really led. We never led the game at all, I don't think. So it was like when we got it back, I think it might have been 50-57. I wasn't even in the game though, but we got it back. We were forced into turnovers, just couldn't score. And it was another thing that was the biggest issue with that game.
Yeah, and also the biggest thing for fans' perspective. So we always try and give them a perspective just to see things a little bit differently on the court. Is when you find yourself behind like that, and you use all your energy to get back into the game, it can then be really tough then for those final pushes as well. But I want to focus a little bit on the organization because I think they very much thought I was taking a shot at the organization, and it's quite clear that things are improving all the time on and off the court. So genuinely from someone who is working within the organization and also someone that's been there a few years ago, what are you seeing that shows you progression is happening at the Surrey Scorchers?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot. It's just a lot. Like, there's a lot more people involved when it comes to like front office. Just everybody, like, there's more, like, because like my first year, like Creon was doing a lot by himself. So it was just like, now there's a lot of like, it's a lot of people like around that's doing more, I would say, like that were able, like Creon didn't have the opportunities that certain, like we had, like what we have here now, like he wasn't like granted those, like those resources, like, but now like there's a lot more resources around, like people are actually putting forth that effort to make sure, I mean, to make the club better. So I can say that things in that manner are 10 times better than for sure.
Well, elaborate on that, because I think that's important. People don't understand that. They just look at, the fans look at what happens on the weekends and they're judging you guys as players and nothing else. And they say you're either good or they say you suck. But just give us context and how important it is to have all that other stuff off the court that we don't see during the week. That's important for you, Saquon, for Patty to be able to be at your best when Friday and Saturday comes around.
Oh, it's just like happy. It's just happy to know that you have guys around you that care. Like they really care about your well-being outside of just basketball and stuff like that. So like, even like here, like, so we're the club's owned by the university. So like, we share the university. I mean, the courts with like, you know how sports like the gyms are. Like we have to wait till Batman or netball or whoever is on the floor. So it's just like it's hard for sometimes for those resources for us to get in the gym extra shots and stuff like that. So it's like they're taking the extra mile so that we can get extra court time and stuff like that we didn't have in previously. And I, like I said, it's just more people around that are taking heed to what professional athletes need to excel. And now it's just like back then it wasn't like, sometimes you didn't get that feeling that people really cared. But now it's like people want us to succeed and everyone cares about their job at this point. It's just like everybody is doing what they need to do to help the club to improve.
Who would you say is responsible for that? Is that Dan Clark working the things in the background that's making it happen?
Yeah, I feel like it's Dan and then a couple of other people that work here. Obviously, Dan is the major guy because he has a big name in this area. He's a well-respected guy throughout the UK. And like he knows a lot of people. He knows, like, it's just like Dan's a well-respected guy. So Dan's definitely the guy that has put forth the effort to make things better, I would say. And then him being a former player, which literally was less than 2 years ago, so like he still like can relate to us a little more. So it's like it makes his job a little easier when it comes to that, because it's like, and it's easier for us to go to him because like we can go to him for like, I always ask Dan for advice and stuff like that, because like I want to be better, like a better player, obviously. And Dan was one, like you said, one of the best to do it. So like just having him around obviously is like, that's a plus. So like I said, he's definitely the guy that I can say has helped create that balance around here that's helping it. And I think that guys really care about everything, like the growth of the organization.
Let's focus back on this final push as we're going towards the playoffs. You know, I want to talk about like where you feel the importance of having veteran players. You know, if you look at Andrew, Justin, Teo, being around you guys, ready for this playoff push, how important is it their roles that they play around just Coach Gardner as well? He's obviously put these guys around you ready to succeed. You could arguably talk about the fact that you have the experience in this league as well. You know, you're returning to this league for this final push. How important are they in, you know, as you look to try and climb the ladder?
I feel like with any team, like you need guys that have experience, especially with us being like this is the first time the team's been in the playoffs in what, five years or so. So like having those type of guys around that have been there, have won in situations, like it's always important to have those guys, especially like the Justin's, he's a two-time MVP. He's been in those situations to where though he had to win. Drew, who's been all over the place, two smart guards that literally can, any given night can be their night. So like, and then Teo, he's our captain. Like he's the guy that brings us together when we really need him the most. And then like, and granted, Teo hasn't played a lot of minutes this year, but when he's in the minute, when he's in the rotation, like he's contributed a lot. And it's like just having those guys is great. Like when I knew I was signing here, and I knew those guys were coming here, I just knew that like this was going to be like a different feel, because like I know what those guys want out of their like every day. Like I know what those guys are going to bring to the table, and I knew that like they were going to help me grow, because like they hold me accountable. Hold guys accountable more. Like obviously we got to do it more and more, but like I'm an outspoken guy, especially around the club. So like I talk, and those guys are like the same way. So like everybody holds each other accountable. Obviously, those guys have more say so because like they're more respected. Other than obviously they've been around longer. So like I said, it's very important that we have those guys around.
Yeah, let's bring this thing full circle. You know, finishing back with yourself. You're one of the few people in the league that I actually don't know. I know most players have a relationship with most of them, but this is the first time I've actually had a conversation with you. And so I was really keen to get you in here, not only just to have some fun with Jay, but also so we can get to know you as a person. And so you're coming off to me as very ambitious about yourself and about your career. And I tweeted about 2 weeks ago, I said that every time I watch a Surrey game, Saquon Jameson pops off my screen. If you're not just focused on the ball, if you watch Surrey and you focus on the ball, then obviously you're going to be attracted to Padilla Wang and Justin Robinson. But I said, I feel like you're their best player, and you retweeted it and you said, thank you. You appreciate that. What did that message mean to you?
Obviously it's like, I'm not like the best, the biggest, like the most skilled guy. I'm not the most, like everybody knows that I'm not the most skilled guy. I'm going to do all the dirty work. I'm going to get mine regardless from, cause I'm a junk, like people say I'm junkyard type of guy. So like, I like to just do the little things. I like to tussle. So it's just like, I'm going to get mine out of that. So like, obviously just see people noticing things like that. It means a lot because basketball isn't just dribbling and shooting threes and dunking the ball all the time, but it's more to it. Obviously it's like, I feel as though I can have a better motor, but like, I feel like just my drive to help my team do win, regardless if it's me scoring, regardless of me getting an extra rebound, anything, guarding the best bigs, anything like that, that I need to do. Like I don't back down from anything. So like, that's really my MO, just to like be that guy that brings us together. Like, sometimes, like in the beginning of the season, like I wasn't playing my best. Like I wasn't finishing. Like I was dropping the ball. But as the season progressed, I got a little better with certain stuff. So I was becoming more relied on to score the ball. So like, and that's never been like a role for me. Like I've never been the guy that is going to lead the team in scoring all the time. Like one thing I know for a fact that I'm going to always do is lead the team rebounding, because that's what I want to do. Like that's my role. So like, and that's something that I take heed to every game. Like I have to. I'm not a stat watcher, but like I want to make sure that I get a certain amount of rebounds, and I make sure that the other my opponent doesn't get more than me. Because like when I, like it was times like we played Plymouth, God, Levi, especially Levi, God, just like me, like when he got freaking, I want to say he had six or it was some offensive rebounds. Like I was pissed. I ripped my jersey that game. It's just like things like that make me mad. Like it's not just because someone scores on me, but like if I let someone outwork me, that's when I'm like really, really, really pissed about it, because it's like I don't feel as though that I can allow anyone to outwork me. Like that's when I'm like anger, like angry. Like that's like the worst. That's like the worst. I don't really like allow anybody to outwork me.
Love that. Well, just, you know, just understanding you a little bit, getting to spend some time with you. Certainly like energy, you know, you're a walking double-double. Anyone that looks at your stat line and anywhere you go, like, you know, you're going to bring it. You're going to bring that consistency. As we sit here now, my final question for you, as we sit here now, are the Surrey Scorchers just happy to make the playoffs? Or
no.
Are you going to make some noise?
No, it's
what
not.
What are we doing here?
I've never been content with just making it. Like I want to get there and actually do, like, it's never like anything I do in life, I'm never going into it just to make it. Like obviously I always want to go into it and make things shake. Like I feel as though like we've been in the game with all those top teams this year, and you've seen it yourself. Like we've been in those games, we figured out a way to lose that game as well, but we've also been in those games to where as though like the Leicester, we were up 20 in the first quarter. Austin
there.
Though those are situations we just found a way to lose. Like we were in between that balance of finding a way to win, then we also find a way to lose. So it's just like us, and I can see the growth throughout the season. Obviously, everybody can, because in like every time we get a win that's like close from, like everybody would say like normal Siri, like they would have gave that game away, but like we were finding ways to win. But now it's just like finding that balance to like when the playoffs comes, like we're gonna end up having to play those Caledonia, Cheshire, or London team. So it's just like we just got to be prepared for that. So, like, obviously, those are great teams. Like Cheshire has had our number this season. Like, we haven't, like, we've been up on them a couple times as well. But Cheshire's, like, they're just hitting on all cylinders. So, it's just like, that's a tough team to play against. Caledonia, that was one of those teams that, like, it's a matchup thing that we just have to figure out. Like, we just haven't been able to get over that hump with them. And then London, like, we played them guys close all the time, too. Like, those are three teams that are, like, they're there for a reason. Like, those are the top three teams in the league for a reason. Like, those guys are really good. But I feel as though, like, we come into the game with the right mindset and anything can happen. Like, I don't really go into any game because I'm not, like I say, I don't back down from anything, any matchup, anything like that. So it's like, I don't care who we have to play in the playoffs. It's just like, when it comes to the playoff time, like, we put our shoes on the same way they do. So it's just like, whoever's the best team on that day, that's what happens. Like, I never go into anything just because, yeah, London's the best team in the league. Cheshire's second best team in the league. Caledonia's third best. But it's like, when the playoffs come, it's a different season. Like, everybody goes to the playoffs 0-0. So it's everything, that's the only thing that matters. We finished the season off the right way, going to those games, like, with the confidence of, like, with the right confidence, the right mindset of just, like, we're not going to lay down to nobody at all.
Love that, man. I think mission accomplished. And just so everyone out there is clear with the narrative that we painted about Surrey, Saquon has just confirmed that is that making the playoffs, although making the playoffs would be a success for the franchise because you haven't made it since 2017. And I have a little bit of Jay's back. What Jay has been saying is that you guys are more talented in eighth, and we're saying sixth place is right there. Go get it. Yeah. Go get it. And that is a compliment to you guys. So it's not a diss. It's a compliment of the team that Dan Clark, Lloyd Gardner's put together, the talent you guys have, and the flashes that you guys have shown us this year. Yeah. So we appreciate your time, man. Go make it happen. We will
be
watching.
Good luck.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Yeah. Keep watching.
I'll keep watching those games, brother. Don't you worry. I got you.
My fans are going to be on your ass, man. I'm telling you. You know that.
We'll keep chatting and vice versa too. So we better make sure we get this going.
Me, I'm not going to respond anymore. I only did that one time because I wanted to have a little laugh.
I loved it. You can reply anytime.
We have fun with that, man. It's all in the game. Nothing personal, baby. Appreciate you, Saquon.
I appreciate you guys.
All the best, mate.
Merry Christmas, Jay. Did you enjoy that Christmas gift, man?
Look how happy you are with yourself. just when I'd weathered the storm and started to get on to brighter days, you just brought me right back in to the storm. But now, what great fun that is. Now that he Saquon wanted to come on, have a little bit of his say, and I was intrigued. I wanted to get behind the scenes and...
Well, that's what this platform is for, right? Because we know that Twitter is just impossible to debate on there properly. So I saw you going back with the Twitter, with the Surrey fans and with Saquon a little bit. And I thought, hey, let's handle this like grown man and do this in a more, don't even know what I'm trying to say there.
Well, look, there are some repercussions here, Mr. Lasker. There's repercussions because it now means that the one thing that you hate doing is you're now going to have to play the Marriott Minute. Are you ready?
Let's go, man. I'm used to this game now. I've been learning. I learned from Ryan Schmidt last week. So, you know, I like to think that I'll do a little bit better than I've done in the past.
Nobody is cool and calm as that guy. Like, I doubt he breaks a sweat if he's running for the damn bus, you know. But here we go. Lock in. Starting with favorite British Basketball League venue this season.
The Gladiators.
Favorite game this season.
Ooh. Man, there's been so many games. I'm trying to think. Has there been one that's gone into overtime?
Maybe. Come on, what shook you out of your tie?
Actually, let's go Caledonia Sheffield on Sky Sports that went into overtime. That Caledonia needed to win to keep their trophy hopes alive. That game there.
Good choice. Okay, if you were a London Lion, who would you be?
Man, Jay, you remember my game. I'm Matt Morgan, baby. I'm Speedy Gonzalez.
If you were a Leicester rider, who would you be?
Everybody likes to shoot, man. Give me 30 shots a game. Call me Drew Buckets.
Drew Buckets. If you were a Caledonia Gladiator, who would you be?
I would be Gareth Murray because I just want to stand on the sideline and look good in those nice expensive suits, man.
Yeah, I love that. Current coach of the season. In your eyes, of course.
It's gotta be Ben Thomas, BT. He's done a phenomenal job there.
Current MVP. Your opinion, of course.
I've been saying Matt Morgan all season long, and I'm going to say it now, but I need to really, we're getting close to the end of the season. I really need to think about that and kind of see, has there been a switch of the minds? But right now, I haven't dug into any numbers, so I'm going to go with my pick I've been going with all year.
Favorite lead commentator?
God damn, okay. Oh, man. Oh,
no, you're getting it, mate. You're getting it. I smelled a rat. I knew you were coming for me, so I'm in here. Let's go.
Oh, man. Okay.
Come on. You tell me this all the time. Let's just be cutthroat, brother. Just say it.
Yeah,
say
you did. I'm trying to think about it because everyone has such different styles. I mean, let's go with Dan.
Favorite analyst?
What's considered an analyst? Who's the analyst?
Well, you can pick anyone. You can go anywhere you want.
I got you. Give me Jordan Taylor. He's been my favorite this year.
That's who I would have gone with for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I see you now like sharpening up. Is it suits or casual? You miss the casual or are you digging the ties these days?
Yeah, you know what? It did take a little bit of an adjustment, but actually I enjoy dressing up now. I enjoy throwing on a little suit and tie. I've embraced it.
Yeah, mate, you look comfortable these days. You look comfortable. 3-point shootout or slam dunk contest?
Well, I was never a 3-point shooter, and I'm looking more forward to the 3-point contest because I want to see Georgia Gale come and get the tight off the boys.
Upset some folks. Yeah. 100. All-star winners, North or South?
Oh, North is going to run the South off the floor.
Ooh, and then finally, as we always ask everybody, final question, Drew Lasker.
I mean, that question never changes, man. Just relentless, hungry, determined, and never satisfied, baby.
Well, that's this week's Marriott Minute. And as always, Drew absolutely butchers it because he's only allowed one word. And to describe himself, he used 10. So thanks, brother. That's what you get for setting me up. And right back at you.
A nice comeback. I wasn't expecting that. You caught me off guard, man. And actually, you really thought about those questions, man. I give you some kudos. You step your game up.
Yeah, I just wanted to see. We're near the end of the season now. We're on the last sprint anyway. We're on the Bolt 100 meter.
Yeah, well, speaking of sprint, let's move to Hot Topics then, brought to you by SoFab Sports. And there's only one place that we can start, Jay, with all the news going out there, people tagging me on Twitter, asking me my thoughts. And I said, you know what? I'll share them on the podcast where I have a lot more space. And that's the news of 7-7 Partners telling the London Lions women they will not be competing in Europe next year. And there's a lot of directions that I want to go here and spend a little time here. But the first one, I just want to go with initial thoughts. You know, I'll start with mine, Jay. I can honestly say I heard this coming about a week before the news was announced, and I didn't believe it. So I put in some calls in the background to get it confirmed. And when I heard the news was confirmed, it actually ruined my day. I was really disappointed just because of all this momentum that the women have made within British basketball, within the women's game. You think about the talent that we've had here to see up close that we've never witnessed in this country before from a female perspective. I just looked at the situation and I just say, what was the point? You know, they've been 2 years in this process. You level things up by bringing 4 WNBA players in. And the timing of the news, and now I understand the timing. I was told of why the timing was released when it was, because you know, a lot of these players are on, you know, 2-year deals or 1+1s, and they have to make decisions on their futures. And so that's why it had to be announced. So I understand that. But I was just really disappointed in this whole process initially. What were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think there was like a number of kind of perspectives I had on this when this came out. So if you use your heart, like, yeah, just heartbreaking, isn't it? You know, that news comes out, the timing of the news as well, you know, just how well they've done this year. If anything, they've proved a reason why we need to double down on them, not give up on them. You know, so from that perspective, like, it's really tough news for the women's game, you know, especially as we're having so many important conversations right now about trying to put them on their own platform and trying to promote them. So, you know, I think quite rightly that 777 are going to get quite a lot of flack in that direction. And I think when you look at it, like, in the real macro, when you look at that team, you know, I don't feel that sorry for players and staff, because they'll be just fine. You know, there's some real talent there, so players will get jobs. Few of them are going off to the WNBA. You know, and I think a number of them, you know, Holly Stock now, where does she go? You know, what's she going to do? But she'll be just fine. From a staff perspective, you know, you've got a head coach that's come in as a former player, proven that she can take this big step. So she's going to be a hot commodity. Yeah, you know, and behind the scenes, you know, you got Kramesh and Matt, for example. You know, they're going to get jobs. They've done a great job and come in and really supported the head coach. And you know, I think that they're going to either get similar offers or be able to go on to take bigger offers. So I think they'll be fine. The person I feel sorry for is the GM, because she walked away from an NBA job. You know, walked away from an NBA job. She had the same faith that we heard from last week from Ryan. You know, she's come into this and from what I can see is totally held up her end of the bargain. I've heard nothing but really good things behind the scenes from the staff, the relationships that they have with that general manager, you know, and I actually think she'll be sitting there saying exactly what you just finished with there, was what was the point? You know, like that move could be something that hinders her, just because I don't think that those kind of roles come up as much as, you know, there's a million players' jobs all around the world. You know, same for coaches' jobs. But I think, like, when it comes to a GM, you know, what do you do now? Where do you move? How do you make that situation? I think from a business perspective, I think it's just been very, very simple. Is we see all of the things going on for 777. They have so much going on that they're currently trying to get, you know, this Everton acquisition over the line. And, you know, is it any coincidence? I might be putting 2 and 2 together and coming up with 10, but you know, a couple of weeks before that they made that announcement, you know, there was a couple of investors that were involved in them had pulled out and changed the financial situation. So I'm imagining they had to reshuffle. And you know, I'm not trying to let them off the hook, but I would imagine it wasn't an easy decision. But when they look down the list of what they were involved with and what they were committed to, they've clearly shown that you know, their commitment to the women's game, or women's basketball game at least, wasn't as strong as it was in the other financial areas they've got. So really sad to see, you know, and I think that'll have a major impact, because I think we were really starting to see some big strides in the women's game over here and you know, the talent they were able to bring over this year, just, you know, both local talent, you know, homegrown talent, and, you know, bringing players like Megan over, generating contributors to WNBA, Carly and stuff like that. It's a tough one to take.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack there. The GM that you're speaking about is Vanya Cernovich. Ironically, I ran into her Sunday as I was walking to the Copper Box. She was walking Josh Sharma's dog as I was getting ready to cover that game, and we stopped and had a little bit of a chat. And I didn't think about that, Jay, so that is a good point. But if anything, I think it helps her case, what she was able to do for this organization in 2 years. And, like, from a player standpoint, I use the word sad because, and specifically, I was talking about, you know, Shanice, I'm thinking about Holly, because specifically Holly, there's no way she stays in the league next year. No chance. Like, she moves off to somewhere in Europe. And so I was sad that we don't get to see that homegrown talent here. But like, from the players, I'm not worried about them at all. They all about to move up and do bigger and better. As you mentioned, four of those girls are going back to the WNBA. The coach gets use this as a springboard to launch her coaching career. So from that perspective, they're good. And yeah, the timing, and I even tweeted, was not ideal in announcing it. But like, as a player, what are you going to do? Like, it's not like you're not going to play hard, and like, that's going to change the goal, because you understand at the end of the day, you're always thinking about yourself anyway. You're thinking about how much winning this Euro Cup competition is going to do for your career. So I don't think that had any impact on how they approach the game. It's irrelevant. I'm just thinking, like, as a community perspective, is that the talk is around that as opposed to supporting these ladies going into that game. And so that's what I meant about the timing being disappointing. You know, I talked about it earlier about how, what was the point in all of this? But then, this is just me thinking with my heart, but then from the business perspective of it, you know, we don't know. They never said what the goal was for the women's club at the very beginning. I don't think we ever knew. I don't know about you, Jay, but I was really surprised at how quickly things moved on the women's side, because the focus, what from what was announced, was always on the men, right? And then all of a sudden we saw the women being focused on, but there was never a message about the ambition, the direction, or anything. We just kind of were just riding a wave and going with the flow. And that project seemed to be moving faster than the men's, right? Because I think it's safe to say that they're closer to the EuroLeague than the men are. But the issue with that is the impact that that's having domestically. Because if they do win that Euro Cup competition, they go into EuroLeague, there's such a gulf with that current Euro Cup team in the women's league at the moment. Just think about how bigger that would be with the EuroLeague roster. Whereas with the men, even though it's a Euro Cup roster, I think it's safe to say that it's been pretty competitive. Even though the men have won the league, I think the games have been competitive. And so, you know, maybe, you know, from a business standpoint, you see that if you kind of slow down, maybe that process just needed to be a little bit more slower while the rest of the league catches up, because I don't think the league is in position to kind of keep up with what's happening with the London women's team. And so, and also, like, I was always raised that, like, you know, you don't pocket watch. I have no idea what's happening with 777 and where they're putting their money, where they're spending their money. That's why when people ask me about it, I'm like, it's none of my business. Like, why am I supposed to feel sorry about what they got going on financially? Like, they're making those decisions, and obviously they're looking at their numbers, and if something doesn't match up, you've been in that situation before. You've been in control of a books. There's a sacrifice. You have to pull it. You know what I mean? And you have to make that decision. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we don't know I will say this, is that hopefully this is just them making a smart business decision financially in the short term. But hopefully this isn't anything bigger to come. Where is this going to be an effect on the men's team down the road?
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell, wouldn't it? Like you said, you can't pocket watch. You know, it's either a move by subtraction that they're struggling, or it's either, like you said, just a really calculated move that maybe really hurt them. You know, as you said, like, you know, I've had to make those decisions before, and they're tough. You know, like, you have to make those decisions, but if it is the right decision for you personally moving forward, you got to do it. Or if it's right for your business, you got to do it. So I'm hoping it's the latter, not in terms of the fact that, you know, I'm happy that the women's game's been hurt. I think it sucks, but you are right. You know, that there was no way that league was going to be able to catch up in the next 5 to 10 years with the talent that they had. Whereas at least in the men's, and the shock of the Cheshire Phoenix in the finals, et cetera, has shown more than ever that actually the league can grow with the talent of London Lions making those big moves. So let's see. Time will tell.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I feel sorry for the biggest thing as well that I forgot to mention is throughout all this, there were London Lions content staff who were affected by this and let go. People behind the scenes that our listeners might not know, people like Oliver Emery, who had a lot to do with all the content you see posting out of the London Lions, plays a huge role. I seen a, you know, a long post that he posted on LinkedIn, and I really felt sorry for him. And so, you know, those that are affected from a career standpoint, financially, those are the ones that, you know, I really feel sorry for. But yeah, you know, hopefully this isn't, you know, something bigger coming down the road, but only time will tell. We'll see. That's for sure. But let's roll things along, brother. Over here to the Northeast, a team that we haven't really spent much time with in a while, and that's the Newcastle Weagles. They just gotten an opportunity to fly under the radar. And since November 10th, they're 14-7, and they were on a four-game losing streak before losing to Caledonia last night. And my question, Jay, is what do you think their ceiling is? Is because I went back and looked at all their games, and here's something interesting for you. Out of all of those games that I've just mentioned, there's a common denominator. When they score 90 points, they always win. When they score in the 80s, they always lose, except for two games. They scored in the 80s in a win against Caledonia and Bristol. But out of those 21 games, 90 points seems to be the threshold. And so with the playoffs looming, with possessions being limited, the game slows down. How far do you think the Eagles can actually go? Because we see their talent. Now that they're all healthy, Will Neighbors back, Devin Whitfield's back, who just broke a record 7-for-7 threes against Manchester on Friday. Where can this team go?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think I was going to go exactly what you just covered there with the playoffs. Like when you're talking about a team that clearly are better in a free-flowing, fast break, push pace, apply pressure type team. You know, you worry about them going into the playoffs, but you know, you could offset that with the trophy run that Cheshire just had. You know, who live and die on that on the 3-point line. They're in a race to 100 points. You know, they play really unorthodox, so. You know, maybe those rules don't apply, but I'm not sure if we've ever seen. Like, I think I don't know if everyone's returning next year, or they're going to make some small tweaks, or it's just going to be a fresh new team next year. But I always feel like teams just need time to marinate. You know, like it finally seems like they're starting to get a bit of an identity. You know, and I'm not sure if it's going to quite come together enough this season for them to make, you know, the ultimate push. And I'm talking like, you know, raising the trophy above their head type run. You know, but the talent's there. You just worry, you know, as you said, is when teams seem to be able to get into them and slow them down. And you know, I think we've seen only in very, very short stints recently, but we've seen that if London decide to really turn it on defensively and really start using that length and athleticism to their advantage, you would imagine like a running team or a team that wants to play in a hurry are gonna struggle. So, yeah, I'm not really sure in the playoffs as they come in where they will sit, but they've definitely shown that they can go toe to toe with every team in the league that they're going to face, you know, so that it's not like they haven't been right there or thereabouts. And with the, you know, with hope, you know, being able to put a European campaign behind them going into the playoffs schedule wise, I think, you know, like, so that could only help them, isn't it? You know, and their health and just trying to get ready. Cause you know, I think that they're going to need you know, a Darius Defoe, for example, to be healthy. You know, I still think they very much need him to be the anchor when they get slowed down, because that's not going to be Delpech. You know, like, he's not a guy you can throw the ball into and go and make plays. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think the key for them right now, if you look at the standings, they're currently fourth, and they have the same number of losses as the Gladiators, but they're two wins behind to get to that third spot. I think it's safe to say that they're not going to catch Cheshire in second, and so they got to get to that third spot because, as you just mentioned, you got to get London in that one-off game because you are not beating London twice in a three-game series. No way, especially twice at the Copper Box. But in the O2 Arena, in a bigger venue where you have the spacing to use that speed, that's where a team like Newcastle could crack them and beat them just like Cheshire did. But you're not going to beat them in a series, and so they got to get to third, and I think that's what the ceiling is for them. But let me ask you this, though, because you made a good point about that continuity, and that's how the Eagles in the past were always a success. We would always keep a core group, and then we would build around it. Think about the imports. Who's the priority? If you were building that team, running that team, who's the number one player you would prioritize in bringing back out of the imports?
Wow.
So I'm talking about Ricky McGill, Jordan Johnson, Larry Austin, Taj Green, Devin Whitfield, Scott Spencer. Who must you have come back? Who must you prioritize to bring back?
It's a really tough question, and I think it sits between Ricky and Jordan. I really do. Like, I think those are the two players that you've got to prioritize above everybody else. You know, I would say personally, maybe a little bit disappointed in Taj Green, like just a little bit, I think. But I don't think that's all on him. I just think offensively, the way that team was made is built around three unbelievably quick guards who are going to do pretty much what they want, and everybody's got to fit into that. So, if I had to choose between the two, Ricky McGill, I think. You know, I think Ricky McGill's been unbelievable, and I think he's the one guy who can just – you know, I've seen him in games where they've gone through difficult offensive times. Every team does, right? You know, like, it's a game of runs. He's that one guy who can get you a bucket from nothing. You know, like, you know, the pick and roll hasn't worked. He's had to re-space. He can hit a three. He can get by you. He's tough. He's competitive. I think he's the guy. But honestly, I think those two have got to stay, like Jordan Johnson, Ricky McGill. You know, not saying that they don't retain anybody else, but if you were asking me to prioritize, I'd be sitting down with those two now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would prioritize bringing both back, but if I had to choose between them, I would go with Ricky only because he's proven more to me that he can play off the ball as well. And that's the only separator for me, is that he's a little bit more versatile. But, you know, I wouldn't be upset with starting a team with Jordan Johnson either. But we'll see where the Eagles land. They have a European game in Bakken on Wednesday. Really looking forward to see how they approach that game and how they land. It's a 5-point difference, and so very manageable. But a team,
I think they can do it.
That they absolutely. But a team that they beat on Friday, which Whitfield had his coming out party, 7 for 7 from the three, his best game as a pro or in the British Basketball League, I should say, is got me thinking about the Manchester Giants. And I had to look them up because we haven't really talked about them. They've flown under the radar. And Jay, they've lost 11 in a row. Out of those 11 games, 6 of those games, they've given up 100 points. Me personally, I think the airplane tickets are booked. The vacations are booked. The sunglasses are bought. The beach flip-flops have been pulled out. And those guys are checked out and ready to go to the crib.
Yeah, 100%. Next season's on everybody's mind within that organization. You know, like, professionally, they're not going to tell you that, but that is exactly what's going on right now. I think, sadly, they just didn't make the adjustments that they had to do. You know, I think that you can't argue that they've got some really nice British pieces. That if they can, you know, keep all of those guys together, you know, you've got something there, you've got something to build on, but they just didn't make moves. You know, Leicester didn't get their recruitment right. and they just didn't sit in the mud and wallow. They actually did something about it, and they're pulling something out of this season. Like, you know, I know they just got a schlacking from the Bristol Flyers, but, you know, on the most part, those moves have worked out and they've been, you know, they've been flying high. So I think both Plymouth and Manchester's seasons are done. You know, and now I think that what we're looking at is, you know, we're looking at that fourth to eighth with a real keen eye. I think that that's where the excitement is right now, four to eight. Who's going to be able to get in the mix? Because, you know, you really don't want eighth. You really don't want seventh, you know, that with the way that the league's been going currently. So I'd imagine that everybody is going to be clamoring and fighting just to at least get out at sixth, if not try and steal that fourth spot. So, yeah, I think it's difficult, but, you know, they just kind of fell off. It looked like Manchester were going to be in the mix for those playoffs. But, you know, and that's what it makes it difficult with, you know, I just want more teams in the league, you know, because with 10 teams, it just, there's nothing really there to play for, is there? You know, and Plymouth and Manchester are done. And now we're just waiting to see what the playoff seeds look like as we move forward.
Yeah, you're right. And like, teams are now starting to announce or post these graphics about qualify for the playoffs. And I'm like, that does not move the needle for me, because there's 10 teams in a league, 8 teams make it. Like, what are we really celebrating? There's 2 teams that's like, you know, that's pretty much been done. It's like, we need more teams desperately. Or, I mean, we talked about this early in the podcast. Like, I really pray that both of these teams find owners so they can become major players and maybe be more aggressive. Because if a Manchester is owned by Steve Timoney, we know they're not sitting on their hands. Maybe they're sitting on their hands because the league is running it, and it's like, what's the point of then pushing more money into it? Maybe that's a possibility, but that city is too attractive, too important for it not to be competitive.
But to throw that back, like, you know, have they got less budget than Cheshire? Like, you know, I think those teams, like all those teams that are sitting at the bottom, have got to just start looking at things differently. You know, Cheshire did. Cheshire looked at it differently and said, we've got to recruit different. We've got to be different. We got to make those moves. You know, Plymouth for me is an odd one, because I do look at especially that current Plymouth team and I think, man, you should be good enough to get some wins. They've not traveled well. You know, so anything on the road has been pretty ugly for them. But do you look at their roster and you really think that they should be bottom of the league? I don't. Like, you know, I like a lot of their pieces that they've got. And then Manchester, they just needed to make moves early. Like, it was clear that there's some players there that are just not good enough. And they didn't move the needle. And I'm not a big fan of costing people's jobs, but that was a really obvious move. You didn't make it. You're paying the price for it now, and you'll be sat out, feet up, watching the playoffs. You know, I think they've just got to look at it differently. As you said, like, if a rich owner comes in, great. If a Steve Timoney walks in the door, you know, then I might just have to be a Plymouth fan again. You know, but they got to just start looking at things differently and find a way, right?
Yeah, and I'll save this for next episode, because this is an interesting debate, because I don't want to elaborate because we're out of time. But just right now, I think that Manchester probably has the better roster. Plymouth are probably coached better. And Plymouth's Americans are better than Manchester. And so I'll leave it there. And I think the issue with Manchester is that you're right. They didn't get it right with their Americans. They have a solid British core. And if they could have sprinkled in 2 or 3, like, really bona fide Americans, that team would be a completely different team. But
So are you just saying merge the two teams and then we've got a superpower? Is that what you're saying?
Now we're talking. Now we're talking top three, top two.
Can the teal of Plymouth merge with the green of Manchester? You know, I don't know.
Like, well, I mean, you know what you could do? You can get all 24 players in a room and say, raise your left hand if you're ready to go home. Raise your right hand if you want to keep playing. And then you just take the 12 guys that raise their right hand and create a team. But with we need them to be better. The point is, we need them both to be better next year, and hopefully they will.
Love it. Well, we've sparked a debate that we've run out of time for, so we will pick that up next week. Finally, it is time to give that player a nickname with Hoopin' and Lootin'. And this week, you know, just for his pure bravery to come on the show and give his thoughts, let's pick Surrey Scorchers Saquon Jameson. Let me know what he should be called, the walking double-double. Anyway, that's it for me this week. Thank you, as always, for your ears and the support. If you think your brand would benefit with some love on the pod, jump in our DMs. Until then, Drew, lead us out.
As Jay mentioned, we are in a sprint to the end of the season, guys. And so thank you again for tuning in. We'll be here every week to bring you that hot news here on the Drew and Jay podcast. But until then, we will catch you guys next week. Be great, people.